So to start off this episode of the Head in the Office podcast,
yeah,
I want to take off us the
pre-midterm, post-midterm show.
I want to take us on a trip to North Carolina real quick.
Okay.
And I want to talk about one representative in particular. Well, a would-be representative, actually, a candidate for the House of Representatives. His name is Beau Hinds. He's running for the 13th district in North Carolina.
Is this the guy that beat Madison Cawthorn?
No, I don't think so.
Fuck, okay.
No, I think it's a different guy. But he is kind of similar to Madison Cawthorn. Young guy.
Okay.
White man, of course.
Oh, went to Auschwitz for fun.
You know, he just, like, fresh out of college, basically.
Okay.
Trying to get into the House of Representatives. But he had he had quite the take on abortion care that I wanted to cue everyone in on, because I think it is largely indicative of the conservative stance towards abortion, because we've heard similar politicians or would-be candidates say similar things, like during the Dr. Oz debate. So here's what Beau Hinds said. When he was talking about abortion, talking about exceptions to abortion, specifically for cases of rape, he said that he wants victims of rape and incest seeking abortion to go through a, quote, community-level review process outside of the jurisdiction of the federal government. Isn't that fucking crazy? He wants you, okay, just to be clear, if you're a victim of rape, if you're a victim of incest, he wants you to get in front of a community panel, basically, and relive your trauma in front of them to qualify you for reproductive health care.
That's the Dr. Oz take.
Yeah.
That's the, you're a woman, her doctor, and local elected officials.
I don't know how the conservative, the conservative idea that big government is bad only applies to the federal government and just stops everywhere else.
Yeah.
Like forcing you to relive your trauma as a survivor of rape or incest or whatever else it may be, just to get access to healthcare. That's fucking crazy. And this dude's like, maybe he'll win.
Yeah,
you know?
No, guys, it's okay, because it's people in your community who don't have titles.
Exactly.
that's the difference.
Exactly. We're just like forcing you to sit with, you know, 20 random people that you've never met in your county. Yeah. it's going to be like those, you know, those fake Planned Parenthoods, whatever they're called, like family planning centers or something, where people go and they're like tricked into going. They're like, well, have you actually considered giving birth to the child? And they basically don't tell you about your rights to get an abortion or like how you could get an abortion or anything like that. I feel like that's what this is. But like enforced by the state or the county. And it's somehow not big government because it's not the federal government.
It's actually very small government.
Yeah.
Because it's very small. And these people don't have titles.
They just have like no idea how federalism works, I feel like.
Oh, no.
They're just like, well, I mean, it's fine if we do it this way.
It's like America's small government compared to the world.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It's like, we've said this before. Once they get to a national level, they're going to have a nationwide abortion ban.
Well, for sure, they don't give
a shit. But it'd be really great if like, before they go for 100% abortion ban, regardless of rape or incest, like no exceptions whatsoever, it'd be interesting if before that they were like, yeah, nationwide community level review board to see if you get to qualify for any of the exceptions. That would be great.
On the ballot, please go and elect 20 men from your local community to come and sit down, all the women.
Or it's like 25 weeks, right? Or like you're at like 20 weeks and you develop a complication in your pregnancy. They're like, yeah, sorry, you gotta wait 6 weeks before the community review board can meet with you. You're just like, okay, but I might die though.
You know? Tom, his son's got a baseball game that night. We are gonna have to reschedule.
Sorry, we couldn't reach quorum. You're gonna have to wait a little while.
It's like jury selection. they just send out mail to like 20 random people in the area. Just, you've been selected to review Sally's abortion case.
Yes, no, that's exactly what it's going to be. I love it. I absolutely love it. Beau Hinds, I hope you get clapped in your election.
It's like the most southern name as well.
Yeah, it's like Tudor Dixon, except we got her in the north.
Real.
Ugh. Ooh.
We got a lot of weird stuff in the north, though.
Hell
Lots of Confederate flags.
Hell yeah. Mm. Yeah, well. Oh, well. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Now, before we even dive into this episode, gotta let you all know we're recording this on Sunday, the Sunday before election day.
As you all should already know.
As you all should already know if you're longtime listeners, which you absolutely should be.
You all know that we record on Sundays, drop on Wednesdays, and all the news happens on Monday and Tuesday.
Exactly.
Every single time.
Including elections. So, unfortunately, we won't know if Beau Hinds won or not by the time this episode drops for everybody else on Wednesday. But if you're a patron, then you're right here with us.
He's chugging along.
In which, like, I'll remind you to consider becoming a patron, because then you could be right here with us on Sundays at like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
And then if you're a patron, you can be right here with us on Tuesday, November 8th, election night at 7 p.m.
Exactly.
For the Patreon exclusive 1 hour long pre-show for the Head in the Office election night live stream.
Exactly.
Which everyone can join at 8 p.m.
But the problem is, if you're not a patron, you're not going to hear this in time.
Exactly. What if all our good takes run out after the first hour?
Exactly. What then? What are you going to do?
Come on.
Like, what if I'm just creatively bankrupt at that point? You've missed it all, and that's on you, really. Not me.
Exactly. No, precisely.
If I have a low battery that day, well, what am I supposed to do?
I will have a low battery that day. I got a busy week ahead of me.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Anyway, we hope to see all of you at our live stream. I guess we'll find out how it goes. You'll be listening to this after the live stream is over if you're not a patron. So maybe you can tell us how it went. Drop a comment. Oh, drop a like and subscribe.
You already know.
Anyway, I'll remind you all to subscribe to the YouTube. Check out our TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Discord, everything else. You already know how it goes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple if you want to help support the show. Sure. We do have one today.
Just one.
From one hero of democracy, Blue Manny. Subject line, amazing. They say, I like to keep up on the issues, and this is one way I do it as a liberal myself. While walking my dog, I love to listen to anything, whether it be music or a podcast. This not only helps me pass the time because I have a German Shepherd and he requires long walks or jogs, but it also helps keep me informed, and it's very entertaining at times. Only at times?
Wow.
It's always a great listen on the subway ride to work. So thank you for that. Keep up the good work. You know what, Manny? I'll take it.
I guess.
I'm honored that you incorporate us into the rotation of podcasts and music that you use when walking your dog.
A great listening, but entertaining at times.
Yeah. I would say at all times, like me personally.
Yeah, on God.
I would say entertaining at all times. And if you're listening to this right now, I hope your dog is doing well. I
would say never a dull moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Over here.
Exactly. I mean, we start off strong and strong. What can I say?
Unless you're not a Patreon and you're tuning into the live stream. With which we've That's ran right. out of takes.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Today we got to do a little bit of cop talk. A little bit of cop
Love
talk.
Cops.
We also got to talk about Michigan Proposal 3. There's a lot of misinformation around that. We'll end on some Jeff Bezos getting sued for something.
Really?
I don't know yet. This is Gage's story, so
it's
I'm not sure exactly
one.
What's going to happen. But first, I want to start off with a little bit of election talk, just because it is that time of the year. It is that time of the calendar season. Obviously, like we mentioned before, we record on Sundays, so we won't really have access to, who wins the elections. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to talk about it right now, but we can step in and give a little bit of analysis, our last little bit of analysis for this election season.
We can squeeze things wrap up. The last little bit of content out of these midterms before Absolutely. They actually go to the ballots on
Absolutely.
Tuesday.
And next week, next Wednesday, whatever that date is when we'll have our full analysis and breakdown of every That's race right. that happened. We'll talk about how hopefully Herschel Walker is not going to be United States Senator.
Hopefully Herschel Walker loses, Blake Masters loses, Dr. Oz loses, yeah. Tudor Dixon loses.
I mean, hey, one can dream, right?
Real.
One can dream. Obviously, polls have been tightening everywhere, as we talked about, I think, two episodes ago at this point. There's not much use in talking about polls again since we're so close, mm-hmm. and we're going to find out what the results are pretty soon anyways. But like I said, yeah, tightening across the board, or in states where Republicans were in the lead before, the gap is widening. So
yeah.
Basically, Republicans are trending upwards all across the country. Not great.
Not great.
Not a great trend.
At all. I did see an NBC poll that came out like yesterday about voter enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And conservatives were like down and Democrats were up, but it just ended up being the same.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The numbers equaled out. But I feel like an enthusiasm poll, kind of the least consequential poll you could do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I mean, don't stress out too much over the polls. Polls can obviously be very wrong. They typically are very wrong. And I've also seen some reports that a lot of conservative pollsters are dumping their numbers now in an attempt to try to discourage people from voting or make it seem as though like the red wave is imminent. There's nothing mm-hmm. that we can do. And I think part of that is because after 2016 and after 2020, a lot of Republican backed firms went in and just, like, bought a bunch of, like, polling agencies.
Fire.
And then they just started pumping out more, like, conservative skewed polls to, of course, manipulate the media narrative, since we talk so much about polls nowadays in regards to elections, which hasn't always been the norm, by the way. Polls used to not matter. Polls used to be something that was just, like, off to the side. No one really talked about because we weren't really good at it.
Oh, that's interesting. Look at this.
Huh. Yeah.
We're still not good at it.
Well, we're still not good at it, and it's crazy to think of a world where, like, they don't matter or they're just not conducted at all.
Yeah.
Like before the existence of like phones and like the internet and email and stuff like that, like there were no polls. Mm-hmm. There was no way to know how people were feeling. You kind of just found out. So that's a better world, to be honest.
My God, because it's crazy how polls have just been absorbed into the conservative strategy. How they're always doing their polls at the end of every Trump rally, at the end of any like CPAC event, all the time, just dropping these polls to like uh-huh. get people's hype up so that their audience who only consumes conservative content like Fox News thinks that, oh yeah, a red wave literally has to be coming.
Yeah.
Because then it makes it easier for them to lie about an election being stolen. Because if someone thinks, oh my God, everyone in the country is excited about this new rise in conservatism, all conservatives are galvanized to go vote. There's no way that the Democrats could possibly win when they tell you that, oh, the Democrats won, but they had to have lied, like they definitely didn't win. You're going to believe it.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, is that a lot of the time, if polls are very clearly in one direction, like we see Republicans are trending upwards right towards right before Election Day, a lot of people may think like, oh, but look, like they were ahead in the poll. So if they lost, that means it must have been stolen.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if it's ineffective because in 2016, a lot of people thought that Hillary Clinton was just going to win because she was ahead in a lot of the polls. But it turned out the error in the polling was that a lot of Trump supporters just didn't pick up and express that they were interested in voting for Donald Trump. And a lot of people they did poll weren't really interested in voting at all. But they were like, well, yeah, if I had to vote right now, it would be for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So I wonder if just saying like, oh, yeah, a red wave is imminent is really going to help their chances at all. I mean, maybe they think it is, but who knows?
Don't know.
Can't really tell. And for the record, now I'm going to bring up a little story that I think is a little bit silly to talk about, but it was in the mainstream, so I figured we'd talk about it today. I think it's pretty dumb to focus on the 2024 elections when we have an election that's coming up in like 3 days for us or 2 days, whatever. But there was an Axios article that said Trump's team is eyeing a November 14th re-election campaign announcement. Apparently, this is like some leaked documents or leaked messages that came out recently. And it's looking like if Republicans have a good night on Tuesday, Trump is going to claim victory, say it was because of him. If they have a bad night, he'll say they didn't embrace me enough. That's why I'm announcing right now. So it's a win-win for him either way.
I suppose. But hasn't there also been like leaks that Trump is going to announce a new run for like every month for the past 6 months?
That is a good point. Yeah.
You know,
and I don't know how reliable this is. Obviously, it might change because, you know, the elections are going to be pretty contentious and some elections might go to a runoff that lasts until January. So we don't really know what's going to happen. And we don't really know what the political environment will be like after Tuesday night. But I guess we'll see. He, of course, is still the front runner compared to all other Republicans. I think he had a rally recently where he called Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonium.
Hell yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I wonder what Ron DeSantis and his campaign staffers thought when he said that. They were probably like, oh, fuck, like, I'd have been pissed.
Like, it's over for him.
Bro's getting ahead of it.
Maybe he's going to lose his race because apparently he's up for re-election on Tuesday as well.
Oh, yeah.
He won't lose his race.
He definitely will not. We're not going to get a Governor Crist, I think.
Charlie the Crist other Republican.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, Donald Trump already came up with a nickname for him. So, like, he's fucked.
That's over.
Well, what is he going to do?
It's over.
Once you get a nickname, it's done. You're an enemy.
SMH.
Yeah, yeah. One piece of election news I did want to bring up, though, was Brazil. Some international news.
Yes.
They had a nationwide election that I think their runoff wrapped up on Monday of last week. And really good news, Jair Bolsonaro, out.
Packed up.
No more, not going to be the president anymore. And Lula, who is the Workers' Party candidate, he won the election by like 2%.
Got
like 2 million votes or something like that. And what was interesting is there was like 5 million or 6 million votes that got invalidated because Bolsonaro is basically a fascist that likes to, you know, make it hard to vote in elections because he doesn't, you know.
Of course.
He doesn't like freedom and democracy. You
know, let me just purge the voter rolls real quick.
And Lula still won despite lots of voter suppression. And,
Shout out.
That's really good news for the people of Brazil and just for Latin America in general. And some people were worried about like the United States doing a coup to keep Bolsonaro in charge. I don't think that's going to happen. The U.S. doesn't have much of an interest in saving Bolsonaro right now. And our ability to do coups, at least in secret clandestine operations, has decreased dramatically.
A lot
of the stuff we do now is just like straight up funding like right wingers in other countries, like openly
funding
doing
other
it.
People to do coups.
Yeah.
Not us doing like low key coups, just funding them.
I guess if we find out like in 10 years after Bolsonaro like does a coup or something that there were like U.S.-backed militants in the Amazon jungle or Amazon rainforest that were like helping Bolsonaro win.
U.S.-backed militants have been waiting there for 15 years ready to strike.
Then I guess I'll be proven wrong and I'll go on the record saying, well, I guess I was wrong, but I don't think that's going to happen. Bolsonaro will probably try something. And if you don't know, he's basically like the Trump of Brazil. Pretty awful person all around. But he's not going to be the president anymore once Lula's inaugurated. So that's a dub.
Shout out that guy.
We actually
to wrap up our little election section. I know this is going to air for most of you after the midterms. However, I still think there's going to be some value in this content, as you'll see in a little bit. If you live in Michigan, you should be well aware of Prop 3. That's the abortion one.
Our fellow Michigan neighbors.
Exactly. Our fellow Michiganders.
Yeah, if you will.
But if you're not familiar with Prop 3, specifically the text that's going to be on the ballot, I wanted to read it to you really quick. Now stay with me. Because I've got an absolutely banger piece of content coming after this.
Absolutely. We're just reading the text of possible amendments.
Reading the text of bills. So Michigan Proposal 3, Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, 2022. A proposal to amend the state constitution to establish new individual right to reproductive freedom, including the right to make all decisions about pregnancy and abortion, allow states to regulate the abortion in some cases, and forbid prosecution of individuals exercising established right. This proposed constitutional amendment would establish new individual right to reproductive freedom, including the right to make and carry out all decisions about pregnancy, such as parental care, childbirth, postpartum care, contraception, sterilization, abortion, miscarriage management, and infertility.
Freedom.
Yes. Allow state to regulate abortion after fetal viability, but not prohibit if medically needed to protect a patient's life or physical or mental health. Forbid state discrimination in enforcement of this right. Prohibit prosecution of an individual or a person helping a pregnant individual for exercising rights established by this amendment. Invalidate state laws conflicting with this amendment should this proposal be adopted. That's the whole text of the proposal, right? And I just think for a second. What did you get out of that?
Uh-huh.
What do you think that means this proposal is going to do? Because in my mind, it's like, okay, they're restoring previous protections under Roe.
Yeah.
And they're maybe expanding those protections a little bit.
It's definitely expanding.
With some language talking about how the viability is like, you can't regulate it until 24 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And they even have protections against regulating it at 24 weeks saying that, but if their mental health is in danger.
Physical health.
Yeah, mental or physical health is in danger. They're mental in there too. Mental or physical health is in danger, then you can't regulate it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, there are extra protections in here, which are obviously good things because we're protecting freedom.
I'm guessing the mental health protection thing and like trigger warning, graphic imagery.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that is for like if a woman is threatening to like kill herself rather than go through with the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because that is a thing that happens when you limit access to abortions is people are like, well, I can't handle having this child. So, you know, I'm going to take my own life.
Which is just, you know,
very dark thing.
A good thing.
Yeah.
A good thing. We don't want
more, to protect against
more
that,
mentally unwell individuals walking around for reasons that could be prevented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And fun fact about that. So in Michigan, and I think in other states as well, for ballot proposals to get on the ballot for November, they have to get, I think it's like some percentage of voters to sign on to it that voted in the previous election. So for this year, it was like they needed 450,000 signatures in order to get on the ballot. This initiative, which is Prop 3, got like 900,000 signatures across the state of Michigan throughout the last year. So it was absolutely going to get on the ballot. But then also another thing it has to do is go through the board of canvassers, which is four people, two Democrats and two Republicans that are appointed, I think, by the state legislature that have to approve everything that's going to be on everyone's ballot, right, for statewide things. And this got 900,000 signatures or like maybe closer to a million, upwards of a million even. And they, because there was one line that didn't have a spacing between like two of the words, the Republicans voted no and blocked it and tried to prevent it from getting on the ballot. And they said this was too confusing for voters.
Crazy.
They didn't understand what they were signing on to. It went to the Michigan Supreme Court and all the justices were, most of them, all the good ones, were basically like, fuck off. This is so stupid. They obviously understand you're just trying to block the will of the voters.
Yeah, no, but it's fucking ridiculous saga that this bill has gone through. But I hope you can see that clearly. It's like it's destroying Roe protections and expanding them like a little bit.
Yeah.
To prevent future like legislators coming in and just being like, okay, we're gonna have a 6-week ban. We're gonna prosecute doctors who do it after this amount of time. It's protecting against things that were issues previously and things that are issues like now.
Yeah.
With other like states saying that we're gonna prosecute doctors. We're gonna put a bounty hunter bill like Texas did. It's protecting against all that. Now, what did this one group on Instagram, Protect Life MI, publish an infographic saying that this bill would do?
Instagram infographics are fire, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Breaking. 11 prosecutors say Prop 3 will allow statutory rape and child sexual abuse in Michigan.
11 prosecutors. I wonder who they are.
I wonder who they are.
They're probably paid by this group.
This proposed amendment will, therefore, prevent prosecutors from enforcing criminal statutes against statutory rape, child sexual abuse, female genital mutilation, and other similar statutes if the child, quote, consents.
Bro, how?
That's what I'm saying. The proposed amendment arguably invalidates age of consent laws relating to reproductive freedom, currently protecting minors. Disturbingly, no age limitation exists in Prop 3.
Oh, they should be excited for that, then.
There's no age limitation because someone who's younger than 18 can get pregnant, and it shouldn't be up to their parents to decide what they can do with their body in that situation.
Right.
Like, if you're 16, it's like the judge in Florida who said, you've been getting getting B's in high school. You clearly aren't responsible enough to get an abortion.
Right.
But you are responsible enough to have a child. To prevent ridiculous, like, situations like that from happening.
Yeah, and, like, it wouldn't make sense to allow, like, an 18-year-old to get an abortion, or just to be able to choose to get an abortion on their own because they're, like, legally an adult, and then say no to, or have the parents of a 17-year-old say no, and then they're not able to get an abortion.
Exactly.
Like, what's the point?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, the point is that nobody should be able to tell you if you can have an abortion or not, or if you have to carry a pregnancy to term or not. The only person that should be able to determine that is you. Mm-hmm. So obviously we wouldn't be like, oh, wow, this 14-year-old got pregnant, so we're going to have their parents make the decision for them. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Fucking dumb. But anyway, like, you've heard that. You've heard me read this infographic, and you think, wow, that's really out of pocket.
Uh-huh.
How could they have gotten that from the fucking text of the bill right there?
Right, right, right.
And you must be thinking, this can't get more out of pocket. It can.
If you're listening to this show, you know things can always get more out of pocket.
In other words, sex between a 12-year-old girl and a 45-year-old man will be protected as a new right so long as the child, quote, consents. As written, the new super right makes it virtually impossible to enforce or enact a statute prohibiting certain sexual activity, including pedophilia, as long as the child consents.
What the hell? Oh my God, no way, yeah.
That's my reaction.
A banger. A true banger.
It's like, how do you, I love how anytime they try to campaign against, like, obviously good ballot proposals, mm-hmm. or whatever they may be, that aren't attached to a Democrat that they can immediately demonize, they just have to lie. Because if you were listening to when Gage read Proposal 3, like the exact text of what will be inserted into the Michigan Constitution, and you thought, oh, wow, this will allow, like, I don't know, transition surgery, or will, like, legalize pedophilia, a right to pedophilia. Like, you're fucking insane. Like,
oh,
can you not read?
The mental gymnastics is wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. And I just think it's insane that people just can lie like this.
Yeah, like, you can find any prosecutor that will literally say anything. Like, as long as Alan Dershowitz is a fucking lawyer in the United States, you can find any lawyer that will say anything for
fucking,
you.
What was it? Ken Paxton in Texas said that he would enforce anti-sodomy laws.
Yeah.
That, just because they're a prosecutor, just because they went to law school,
the
doesn't
attorney
mean
general,
a good person.
The Attorney General of Texas said that. Like, yeah, you can find anyone that'll say anything.
Just because they're a prosecutor doesn't mean they're not willing to lie to pursue, to usher forth their new conservative agenda.
I did see, so the narrative, if you live in Michigan, you'll have seen a bunch of signs about this already, especially in conservative places. Mm-hmm. The narrative is always like Prop 3, too extreme, too confusing, right? Like, the conservatives are literally running on
illiteracy.
Partially they're running on we're stupid. Like, that's the argument here. But I saw some group that is in favor of Prop 3 came out with new signs that had, like, it said Mountain Dew Baja Blast, too confusing, too extreme. I think that's perfect. It just, like, you're dumb. Like, if you just read it, you know what I mean?
And it's like, it's not a complicated proposal. It's three paragraphs.
Uh-huh.
The whole proposal fits on the ballot.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not confusing at all. And again, the only reason that they're pushing back against it is, one, they don't want abortions to be legalized, and two, they have to lie in order to do it. Like, I mean, that's really all it is.
Fun times.
Yeah.
I love the state of discourse. And it's like, obviously you can't regulate people lying about shit like this. You can't make a law, because that would be very wrong and very bad and very dystopian to make a law saying, yeah, it's illegal to lie about proposals like this, because there's always gray areas, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's crazy that they can lie to this extent. It's crazy that they can say, yeah, we're protecting a proposal to protect reproductive freedom, which includes reproductive freedom for anyone who can reproduce, can have a child, can carry a child in their belly, will allow statutory rape and will eliminate age of consent laws.
Yeah, no, they just make shit up. And it's like, it is crazy that they can just lie, like, especially on, like, paid media, because every time I'm driving here in Oakland County, I see a giant billboard. It's one of those digital ones that flips between two things.
Yeah.
It either says, like, Proposal 3 legalizes, like, child transition surgery or some shit, or it's Donald Trump won the 2020 election. Like, they can just lie. They just lie to the whole world, and they can pay for it, and it can be in front of everyone, and it's fine. Like, such damaging lies can just be broadcast as much as possible, and no one faces any repercussions. And it's like, yeah, it's hard to, like, write those things out in law, because you'd be very close to limiting the First Amendment. But these people will literally do anything to seize political power and to hurt you.
And it's insane how much conservatives bitch about, like, fact-checkers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, getting fact-checked by Politico on Twitter or Facebook. Yet they can go buy a fucking billboard on, like, US 23 and just broadcast their message to people who will actually listen. Because the people they're actually trying to reach aren't on Twitter.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit anyway.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Definitely, if you're in Michigan and you haven't already voted, well, I guess after this comes out, people would, the election's going to be over. But real. I hope
don't
if you're
vote
in Michigan,
after the election.
Yeah, that, you'll go to jail. If you did vote already, I hope you voted for Proposition 3 in Michigan, or yeah. Proposal 3. It's really good. We love it.
Yes on all proposals.
Exactly. I've already voted, so my vote is cast.
I'm voting on Election Day.
Got to. Me. I'm voting me. 3 or 4 times on Election Day.
I'm going to vote again on Election Day.
Yeah, I got a lot of traveling to do. I got to go to Wisconsin and Ohio to cast my vote for Mandela Barnes and then Tim Ryan so that they can win their Senate seats. And I think I'm going to vote a couple more times in Michigan probably.
I think after I vote my second or third time in Michigan, like I might stop at every like precinct or whatever on my way down to Florida.
Oh,
and then
real.
As I'm running through Georgia, maybe cast a few ballots for
Stacey
Raphael.
Abrams and Raphael Warnock.
Yeah, and then stop in Florida and maybe do something to try to get DeSantis out of there. I think I could, if I sat there all night, I could fill out a bunch of ballots.
Yeah. I mean, it might be unrealistic. Like, I might have to make up like millions of votes, but I might try to go to Texas and give
Beto a fighting chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way he could win. For legal reasons, this is all jokes.
But I won't go to Arizona because obviously this plan is me dropping off ballots at ballot drop boxes, right? Because that's a thing that happens is people go and drop millions of fraudulent ballots.
That's right. I do have to go harvest a bunch of ballots.
Exactly. Like that, I'm going to go around to college campuses and start ballot harvesting on my way to Texas.
Yeah, well, and that's all before our live stream, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I'll make it back in time for the Patreon pre-show. However, I won't stop in Maricopa County in Arizona to do that. You know why I won't do that?
Because you did it in 2020?
No. Not because I did it in 2020. Because in Maricopa County, this isn't in the show notes or anything. This is just off the cuff, a news story I saw a couple days ago. In Maricopa County, there have been conservatives going to ballot drop boxes and just dressing up in all camo, sitting on their trucks, putting like masks on so you can't, the only time a conservative wore a mask, so you can't identify them, with guns, just sitting outside
just intimidation.
Of ballot. Yeah, just doing actual voter intimidation.
Fuck. Yeah, no, like, that's crazy. Yeah. I feel like that should be illegal if it's not already illegal.
Oh it is. It's illegal in Arizona, too. And, like, the sheriff's department in Maricopa County has been getting involved. Like, guys, you can't do this. But they're not. They don't care.
That's crazy. Now, talking about, speaking of, like, Michigan ballot proposals, we also have Prop 2 in Michigan, which, like, does some things to expand voting rights. And I haven't seen much about that in terms of, like, marketing, at least to the same degree that I've seen negative attack ads against Prop 3.
Yeah.
But I was in a restaurant the other day, and they had, like, TVs up, and I saw an ad that, like, attacked Prop 2. And one of the things in Prop 2 explicitly is it makes it easier for people in the military to vote from overseas. Like, how are you going to run against that as a conservative?
No, literally, how are you going to run against that as, like, John James? Is John James running again?
Oh, my
Didn't
God.
Didn't we cover that?
That was the other thing I was going to bring up. Big news on election night is going to be that John James is probably going to win, and he's finally going to get a national
seat. Oh my God, yeah, because he's running for a House seat this time. He's
in a red area. So
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
My God.
He's finally, after 3 tries.
How are you, John James, like a veteran, someone who goes around and like takes pictures and does photo ops with veterans, talking about how you're pro-veteran, against Prop 2 to help veterans vote overseas?
You know, he's literally gonna finally win after getting clapped in a primary and then a governor's, or, and then a Senate race and then a governor's race, or maybe the other way around. But yeah,
he's lost like what, 3 times before.
Yeah. Bro's finally gonna get what he wants, and you know what? I'm happy for him in a way.
We covered this a couple months ago. The ad that he ran to like announce his run in the primaries was the main focus was I'm not a career politician.
Mm-hmm.
My brother in Christ, you've been trying your hardest to be a career politician.
He's finally gonna get it.
Like.
He's finally going to get it. I'm actually proud of him. Like, this is an amount of determination you don't see from a lot of people.
Yeah.
To take L after L after L and still put yourself out there after being embarrassed so many times.
He's like Spider-Man.
You've got no shame.
Every time he gets knocked down, he always gets back
up. It's like every time there's like an open seat that they just need to stick some default conservative candidate in, the Republican Party's like, John, we need you.
John,
we need
come
you to
on.
Do it again.
John, there's a new seat opening up in Michigan.
We got to run somebody.
John,
it's got to be
you. There's a race going on, and we got money to burn.
You're
going to
be one of the 3 black Republicans in Congress. We need you. Anyway.
Shout out John James for real.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's time to move on to some cop talk.
Love cop talk.
Because there's a recent survey that was done by the Marshall Project, and they had some interesting information on the attitudes of sheriffs nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very important revelation.
Okay.
Very important.
I have a book of revelations here for you, you could say.
A whole book of revelations. Turns out, guys, cops are conservative.
Oh my God.
No way.
That's crazy news, isn't it?
No way.
That's crazy news. All right. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody. No. No. Okay. So the Marshall Project, like I said, released a study on sheriffs nationwide. They were surveying their views, specifically sheriffs, because they're in like positions of power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're usually elected officials. Keep in mind, the data was collected in 2021, but it was just published recently. So it reflects issues that were more focused on in 2021, not necessarily 2022, but that's besides the point. But again, yeah, sheriffs are in an interesting position because they lead the officers, they set policies, they control the county jail, and they're elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
So they also have to do campaigning of sorts in order to be a sheriff.
Campaigning is wild.
It is wild.
Like, side notes, like you don't really ever like see it too often. Like, you definitely don't see it to the extent that I'm seeing Alyssa Slotkin attack ads on every fucking YouTube video mm-hmm. I watch up at college, and I'm just annoyed with the whole process now. It's like a silent killer.
Yeah.
These sheriff elections.
Yeah, they almost got you to vote against Alyssa Slotkin for.
No, see, like, it's crazy though, because side note, I don't give a shit about the attack ads, but the actual ads that she's running, where she's trying to sell herself, are honestly doing more damage to her than I think the attack ads are. She is running yeah. on things like being the most bipartisan member of Congress, and I'm like, uh-huh. honey, that's not.
Well, they're saying. Well, they're literally saying like Alyssa Slotkin is actually the devil herself.
Yeah,
like this is like she literally wants to take your children and drink their blood. Like that's
my favorite attack ad is there's 100 reasons why you shouldn't vote for Alyssa Slotkin, but you should only need one, and then it goes to list off like 3 different reasons why you shouldn't nice. Vote for her.
Classic conservatives not knowing how to count.
Oh, God,
love that. I love that.
Running out of literacy.
Anyway, speaking of counting and data.
Yes.
Back to the sheriffs. There's about 500 sheriffs in the around the country that were surveyed here. I don't know their exact method for choosing sheriffs. It was just like an opt-in thing, and I don't really know if this is like statistically representative of sheriffs as a whole, but mm-hmm. it's still, you know, quite a few from many, many counties throughout the country. So I figure it's worthwhile to talk about.
Of course.
Well, at least get some insight, something to riff about, you know what I'm saying?
Got to.
So to start off, 70.8% of sheriffs indicated that they are either conservative or very conservative. That's 70%. 5% said that they were just regular conservative. Very conservative was 17.3%. 28.1% said they were moderate, which leaves 1% to say they were liberal or very liberal, split between the two categories.
That's crazy to say that, 53% are very conservative and 17.3% are Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Basically. Yeah, it's basically 17% are white supremacists.
Because didn't we cover a story about 2 months ago about, I want to say it was someone in the Minneapolis Police Department who actually had a Nazi symbol above
yeah,
his door?
Yeah. And then they tried to suspend him, and he was like, but free speech? Wasn't
yeah,
that what?
Yeah, something like that.
And obviously here, the conservative retort is going to be like, well, that's, you know, so many cops are conservative, so many sheriffs are conservative, because conservatives support police.
Exactly.
Like, of course they're conservative. You know, we're the ones that support them.
I'll back the blue.
And to that I would say, no, that's not the reason. Because if, like, communists came out, like, you know, the very few communists in this country came out, and they're like, I fully support the police, that doesn't mean police or a large portion of police would suddenly be communists themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or if a bunch of libs came out and said they support the police more than they do right now, it's not as if cops would suddenly become more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. My point here is that the institution of policing itself is a conservative one.
Oh, for sure.
Because it exists to reinforce a currently existing hierarchy, usually through the enforcement of unjust laws that have historically targeted people of color disproportionately.
The whole thesis of crime and punishment that we build our criminal justice system upon is just reactionary.
Yeah.
It is just punishment is the only way. Increasing police is actually a deterrent when it's not.
Yeah.
And we know that increasing police presence isn't a deterrent at all.
Yeah.
Like Eric Adams in the subway, he's increasing police, yet crime isn't going down uh-huh. at all. And I made a TikTok about this the other day, and somebody commented something like, which I feel like was a very common thing to see when you see something like that. They said, well, if you're increasing police, wouldn't you find more crime?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, that's not going against what I'm saying, though, because if you're increasing police, like the thesis behind increasing police presence is that the police are going to act as a deterrent. Crime should go down if that's what's happening. If you're finding the same amount of crime, police aren't deterring anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not working. Like, yes.
Yeah, and you end up finding more crimes, but the crimes that you find, or the increase in proportion of crimes that you find, is usually driven by cops cracking down on very minor offenses,
yeah.
like, you know, having weed on you in your car, or having some other drug on you,
or like fair dodging, or
like
whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah, like vandalism, that uh-huh. kind of thing. Like, it's very small, very minor crimes that are caught by police when you have things like over-policing happening.
Yeah, they start cracking down on, like, cool crimes, like
right.
graffiti.
Yeah, exactly. Like art.
Unironically, yes.
Yeah, and it's like later on in the article, the author's mentioned that because sheriffs are elected officials, they often have to, of course, like run their own campaigns. Mm-hmm. And an interesting thing I saw was that, quote, and they run their own jails, and they said something along the lines of like, it was, quote, sheriffs can receive campaign contributions from the very companies that contract with them for services like jail medical care and detainee transportation.
That's crazy.
So cops are out here, obviously, again, reinforcing a conservative hierarchy, because hierarchies are necessarily conservative, uh-huh. right? You're keeping it, like you're conserving the hierarchy. And to do that and to win and stay in those positions, they're taking donations from the very people that they then give tax money to. So that's, it's like, crazy. Yeah, obviously it's a conservative institution. Like, that's obvious. And they're conservative because that's what their job demands of them.
And obviously the people who are funding these campaigns, the people who are making money off of the prison system, are going to want to run candidates who are tough on crime.
Exactly.
They're going to want to run candidates who are increasing numbers in the prison so that they can justify their own existence in transporting prisoners, supplying medical supplies to these prisoners, yeah. Feeding these prisoners the little food and the shitty food that we do give them.
Uh-huh. And it's not even just like a profit, or it's not even a problem of just for-profit prisons. Like, again, the companies that, you know, offer like soap or bed sheets or clothes or whatever, yeah. it is, make tons and tons of money
and those
out
exist,
of supplying jails.
Those exist outside of the context of for-profit prisons, because uh-huh. you need those for any prison.
Yeah. And government contracts, by the way, for literally anything, are 100% guarantee return on investment.
Uh-huh.
Every single time. Because government's like, yeah, we're going to pay you for this. And they're not going to back out of the contract because it's the fucking government.
They just fucking scalp the government.
Exactly.
Like, that's why, that's like, it goes back to the argument conservatives have against, like, college. It's like, oh, well, colleges are just scalping the government because student loans exist to ensure that they can scalp them. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but real.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. In the study, they moved on to approval ratings for Trump and Joe Biden. And 73.1% either approve or strongly approve of Donald Trump nice. When he was in office. Then a staggering 69.1% strongly disapprove of Joe Biden, with an additional 17.9% regular just disapproving. So
if he's, what, 14?
Yeah. So about 87% disapprove in some way of Joe Biden. 87% of all sheriffs disapprove of Joe Biden's performance.
That's crazy.
And to me, because Joe Biden hasn't done anything to defund the police, right? Like, there's been no national bill that has been passed to defund the police that has been endorsed by any majority of Democrats. So to me, this just speaks to the idea that the media is working. Like, painting Democrats as anti-cop is working very well.
Because Joe Biden, like, what, in legislation, nothing has happened to cops except regular increases in police budget that were already scheduled. And in rhetoric, he's completely neutral. He's not even neutral towards cops. He's pro-cop.
Oh, yeah. He said we need to fund cops more.
Exactly. Like,
Right. It's like there hasn't even been bills passed on like qualitative issues like banning chokeholds or anything like that.
Well, there haven't even been bills proposed.
Yeah. I think there was one bill proposed. I think it was called had George Floyd's name in it or something like that.
Yeah.
There was one bill proposed. I think maybe right after George Floyd died or maybe during Biden's presidency. I can't really remember. It was a while ago and it didn't pass. Because they don't have enough Democrats that are willing to pass a bill like that because too many Democrats support the police like uncritically.
Yeah.
Like, and that's really all it is.
It's like, it's so funny because they gain nothing from supporting the police.
Yeah. The cops aren't going to endorse
they're
you.
They're fucking gaining nothing.
You're not going to get the fraternity order of the police or whatever the fuck it is.
The fraternal order of the police.
You're not going to get that endorsement ever. It's just, I don't know. I feel like Republicans paint Democrats as such extremists when it comes to police that I feel like at this point you may as well just do it because they're going to say you're doing it anyway.
God.
Like they're going to say, and that kind of applies to all issues. They're going to say like you want open borders. They're going to say you want universal healthcare, socialized medicine. They're going to say you want socialized university or fucking whatever. You might as well just do it.
For real.
You know, you might as well just fucking fully send it because they're going to excuse you of that anyway.
Please do it. Yeah. Please fully send it.
Now, there's a big section on immigration policies because I think a lot of these sheriffs were in counties that are close to the border.
They were in border states like Pennsylvania.
Yeah exactly. those pesky Canadians coming over. But yeah, there's a big section on immigration policies. And about 90% of sheriffs either agree or strongly agree that we need more federal funding for a tighter border to prevent illegal immigration.
Damn.
Almost all of them.
They want the wall and they want it tall.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And there's a set of questions that I thought was really strange. They asked about their views on not necessarily immigration policy, but immigrants specifically.
Immigrants themselves.
Yes. No. Like their views as a sheriff on immigrants, like as human beings. And there's two questions here, and I'm just going to read directly from the study. So the first question is, or the first statement is, they're being asked to rate how much they agree on a scale of strongly agree to strongly disagree, like they have been already. And the question was, or the statement was, immigrants today take advantage of jobs and opportunities here without doing enough to give back to the community. And about 28% or so, about 30% or so, either agree or strongly agree with that statement, with about 40% being neutral, right? So that leaves maybe about 30% of people to disagree with that. And the next statement was, Irish, Italians, Jewish, and many other minorities overcame prejudice and worked their way up. Today's immigrants should be able to do the same without any special favors. And that one has about 60% of people, 60% of sheriffs agreeing or strongly agreeing. And to me, these are opposite statements, right?
Yeah.
Like these are, the first one is like, immigrants are taking too many jobs away from Americans that need them. And the second one is, they should be working harder and not have to get any special favors. You can't have it both ways. There's at least a group of sheriffs in this data that supported both statements or agreed with both statements. So they're basically saying immigrants are taking too many jobs and immigrants are not working hard enough. You can't have it both ways. You gotta pick one.
Crazy.
You gotta pick one. It's just crazy that conservatives even hold this belief that immigrants are both lazy and, you know, siphoning off from the system, and they're taking jobs away from Americans.
Yeah, they're also violent criminals.
Right, exactly.
Violent criminals who are giving your kids fentanyl on Halloween.
Yeah, are they violent criminal kingpins that are, like, trafficking large amounts of drugs, or are they super lazy and doing nothing for the system? Like, yeah. You gotta pick one.
Just acting as a drain on the system, exactly. While still going to work every day and taking too many jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So obviously a little bit of racially motivated there. And I thought that was pretty crazy. But they also had a section on asking sheriffs when they have their officers check for immigration status when they are dealing with people that might be illegal immigrants. And I don't know how they determine when they're going to check it other than like racial profiling.
No, absolutely. It's like you're looking a little too brown.
Yeah. So when you're on a border or when you're in like a border county or something, I got to believe it's just racial profiling that motivates that.
What else could it possibly be?
But for violent crime arrests, it was more than 70% of the time that sheriffs either mandated or preferred that officers check immigration status, which is like, fine. Okay. Violent crime. You know, whatever. Like, let's just assume for a second that that's fine, right? And move on.
Yeah.
But for traffic violations or just being interviewed as a witness to a crime, sheriffs either mandated or preferred that police check immigration status 20% of the time.
That's crazy. That's crazy because that's not happening to any suspected Canadian immigrant.
No,
If someone's at a traffic stop and they go, oh, sorry, officer, they're not making them whip out their papers. No. I can tell you that.
No, they're not. And it's like 20% of the time. Or 20% of sheriffs wanted their officers to check for immigration status. If you're just being interviewed as a witness, that means you could have done absolutely nothing wrong. Just been proxy to someone else doing a crime, and you could possibly get deported for it.
Feels like a violation of just a fundamental human right, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Now, there were a few questions about protests against policing and racial injustice, right? So, like, things following the 2020 killing of George Floyd or Breonna Taylor, stuff like that.
Oh, no.
And the question was, specifically, I'll just quote, as you may know, demonstrations have been held in many parts of the country in recent years to protest the deaths of African Americans who died during encounters with police. How much, if at all, do you think that these protests have been motivated by a longstanding bias against police? Just take a minute and you know, think about what cops may feel. Do you think that they've been motivated by longstanding bias against police? Like, do you think police would feel that way? If you said yes, you're absolutely right, because 84.4% of the sheriffs either agree or strongly agree with that idea.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And Jesus. To further reinforce that, about 80.5% of sheriffs see instances of police killing black men as isolated incidents rather than a part of a larger systemic problem.
Tug, it's just, how can you say it's isolated when they happen like every other week?
Disproportionately, yeah.
Like, it's just not.
And this is like, this is to me pointed towards a broader issue, which obviously, like, this is to be expected, right? Like, this isn't anything out of the ordinary. I would have been shocked if it was the other way around. That
for sure.
It as a systemic
problem. I'd have been shocked if it was anything but strongly agree.
Right, exactly. But it shows that if people in power, specifically people like sheriffs, aren't willing to see a problem, if they can't even recognize that there is a problem, they're never going to be interested in finding a solution.
Because
they don't even think that there's a problem to begin with. There's no problem to be solved. And if we can't together recognize that there is a problem, then we never will be able to solve it.
Especially when they have a vested financial and personal political interest in maintaining the things that create this problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Maintaining the systems that create these biases that people have.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and there was, it wasn't in this survey, but I've read about the practice of doing investigatory stops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a difference between an investigatory stop and just a routine traffic stop when you have like a taillight out or a license plate, you know, is wrong or missing or something like that. That'd be a traffic stop. And as, I mean, as we've covered, even during traffic stops, things can get pretty violent. Mm-hmm. But investigatory stops happen specifically to get arrests. They happen to catch people, to catch criminals doing something wrong. They don't happen because there's something wrong with your car, you did something wrong. They happen to investigate you as a person.
Wait, like, how do they know? Like, they run your plates and you have a warrant?
I think the only way that they really, or the thing that they're told to do by, like, their police chief or sheriff or whatever it may be, is just police areas that have higher crime rates.
Oh, words. Yeah. Oh, okay. And this guy looks like he's committing crime.
Right, exactly. You just have to have reason to investigate, some kind of reason to investigate, and you get to do an investigatory
probable
stop.
Cause.
And the thing with those is that while they're not explicitly racialized, they're not saying, go investigate black people more often, they rely on and encourage police officers to embrace the stereotypes that they already hold when they're enforcing their investigatory stops. So if cops already have bias that is something along the lines of black people commit more crime, then they're going to investigate black people more often and they're going to arrest more black people. And this is one of like, this is one of the very few things within the system of policing that continues racial division in this country. And really nothing's done about it. Like, those are still legal. They still happen.
And it's also one of the things that's just the most obvious instance of police misconduct. It's the most obvious instance of what the fuck is the term? Systemic racism.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know how I'm forgetting that one.
The big one.
the big fucking one right there. It's so obvious. It's right there. It's in your face. Yet conservatives are so fucking dense. And when they see that, they think, yeah, but those are the high crime areas, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But probable cause. It's totally real.
Right, exactly, exactly. And even further to support this point, about only 12.2% of officers supported making it a crime to ban chokeholds. Or a crime to use chokeholds like the one used on George Floyd.
See, that's especially vile because it wasn't even a hold. It was just a knee on your neck.
It was just choking. It was just choking, right? And only less than 4% supported civilian oversight boards on police.
Because they don't know how hard it is to do this job.
Exactly.
They don't know how hard it is to do this job. They don't know what I go through every day.
They want to completely insulate themselves and be able to do whatever they want because they view themselves as, you know, upholding the law, protecting the law.
No, Jeremy, you just don't get it. I don't think you know how hard it is to sit in the median on I-75 and just wait for people who are going like 95.
Exactly.
It's a hard job.
It is.
It's a hard day.
And there are some qualitative data that I wanted to talk about as well. Not really statistics, but I'm just going to quote directly from the survey. They said, quote, many sheriffs subscribe to the notion popular on the right that in their counties, their power supersedes that of the governor or the president. I love that. Sheriffs think that they are just above everyone else that is actually above them.
Small government though, right?
Yeah. Incredibly small government. And then another one, quote, in Cook County, population of 5.17 million, which encompasses Chicago, Sheriff Tom Dart oversees as many as 9,000 detainees a day at a jail he has previously called the country's, quote, largest de facto facility for mental illnesses. And they're just, this is what they'll say. This is what they'll tell you in a survey that's public that has their name attached.
Wow.
Like, just imagine how they actually view the people that they deal with every day. How do they regard these people?
I was probably going to run that survey to get reelected.
Yeah.
So check this out. Yeah. Look at how much I ride for the cause.
And it's like, the thing is that when it comes to mental illnesses, and people being in jail and cycled through the criminal justice system that have mental illnesses, it's not even, it's beyond the scope of someone like a sheriff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can't solve a systemic maltreatment of mental illness in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, this is the only thing they can do is put them back through jail a bunch of times and, you know, keep arresting them over and over. But because we don't actually address mental illness in this country, mental illnesses paired with poverty that cause people to do things like commit crime because they have nothing else that they can do, then yeah, like, of course, this is what's going to happen. It's extremely brutal, like more brutal than how any other country deals with it.
Like, bro,
developed country.
Bro thinks it's the Wild West. Like, he thinks I am the sheriff of this town. I am law and order.
Yeah.
This is mine.
And it makes me think about, like, what purpose or what point do prisons and jails and policing really serve? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's not to serve and protect you, right? Like, if there's the capacity for a cop to kill any innocent person for doing nothing or, you know, have a minor traffic violation or something like that, then obviously they're not protecting you, because if you could die despite being innocent, then you're not being protected by the police.
Yeah.
If you can go to prison for the only reason, being that you have a mental illness, then they're not protecting you at all.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of society, what kind of conditions require people to be coerced into adhering to them? And I would argue it's not a society that's very great.
Very bad.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah. And it's like the only, the real, like, practical use of prison that we have right now and the way that this is set up is to get people who are just, like, unhingedly violent away from the general public, right? Uh-huh. But that is not the vast majority of people in prison.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people in prison are people who are caught with a dime bag.
Nonviolent
and
offenders.
I would argue that they do not need to be, those are not people who need to be removed from society.
Yeah.
Some high schooler who got caught with a bag of weed is not someone who really poses a risk to his greater community.
Yeah, and this is a very simplified view, but like, if someone's selling drugs, why? Like, why do you think that is?
Yeah.
Probably because they're getting paid more selling drugs than they would be working a job that they hate. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only, like, why? Like, what conditions give rise to that sort of behavior?
Maybe because being a drug dealer possibly offers a better work-life balance than working at the local Target.
Right. If you don't want people to deal drugs, then maybe give them jobs that they don't fucking hate that pay them next to nothing. Pay them pittance.
Maybe do something to curb alienation.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I want to note before we move on from this section that, like, and this was also noted by the survey, if you want to try to understand police behavior, especially in regards to, like, people of color, marginalized groups, you have to note that police in the United States formed out of slave patrols.
Yeah.
And sheriffs were often leading the charge in enforcing slave codes. In fact, interesting, little known fact, actually all white people were deputized in catching runaway slaves, too.
All white people?
All white people in the United States. That was a part of the slave codes. All white
crazy.
People were deputized in catching runaway slaves. And my point here is that the history of police, when you're trying to analyze policing, can't be ignored. Of course, police aren't the same anymore. Like, they're not rounding up slaves anymore because slavery as an institution has gone away, thankfully. But police still serve a purpose similar to that of treating slaves, right? Trying to get them to adhere to a necessarily coercive social, political, and economic hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Because there is a through line that you can trace that travels from slave patrols to Jim Crow laws to the war on drugs to various instances of over-policing to today. Like, that line still exists, and by ignoring that, you're not really leaving any room to find any solutions to the problems that we deal with in regards to policing today.
Because it's so easy to just say, well, these are criminals, they're doing crimes, they need to be punished.
Yeah.
Because we punish crime here.
Exactly. But we never really take note of what causes crime and why we associate some behaviors with criminality. Like, there's anti-vagrancy laws that have been on the books before and may still be on the books.
Yeah.
Like what purpose does that serve other than forcing people into an economic situation that they hate? Right, like policing today, prisons today reflect certain economic conditions that are required in order for a system like capitalism to function. And obviously, police are going to hold conservative views because their job is to conserve.
Yeah.
Their job is to uphold a hierarchy that otherwise would topple without an element of coercion.
Their job is quite literally, explicitly to uphold law and order.
Yeah. And there's also, I do want to note that I think this is what a lot of people understand if they don't really get the systemic critique, is there's definitely a psychological element of power that exists within, like, sheriffs and police officers.
For sure.
Like, I feel like they regard themselves as either above the law or the law itself. They view themselves as these, like, arbiters of power, of authority that can submit you to, or can force you to be obedient to, you know, whatever they consider to be moral or right. And I think that's, it's not a very great society for everyone that doesn't have that power.
Pretty wild,
yeah,
if you ask me. Official head in the office statement.
Yeah, and reading studies like this really make me lean more towards police abolition as a whole.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's like, I mean, I think you think about, like, slave patrols, right? Like I mentioned before. If you were alive in the 1800s and you were, like, on the side of prison or of slavery abolition, but you were saying things like, you know, instead of getting rid of slavery as a whole, what if we just made some reforms around how slave patrols have to treat you and they can't brutalize you as much? They can't use certain holds, you know, they can't grab you in a certain way. You'd be called crazy.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what do you mean certain reforms to how slave patrols act? It's the institution of slavery that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like that kind of applies here as well. It's like, yeah, certain reforms, you know, taking funding away in certain areas might help, or even, like, giving more training might help in certain ways, but it's not going to address the core of the problem, which is the use of violence to enforce a certain set of behaviors and morals onto people. And it makes me kind of sad.
Very sad. Yeah. Very upset.
Yeah, not great. But I hope you now understand why cops are conservative.
Exactly.
I hope we gave you a real holistic view of policing in America.
If you didn't get it before.
Exactly.
I hope you get it now. For all the new listeners.
Yeah.
We come around this topic every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah,
you already know.
But, we are hardcore police supporters over here, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah. I back the blue, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I will be voting down ballot red. No on all propositions on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Especially proposition.
If there's any,
it's confusing.
It is confusing.
I don't get it.
And I don't know why there's not a proposition to give, like, all of the state budget to the police departments in this country.
Really?
Or in the state of Michigan. Like, why do we need funding for education when we could just have cops protect everybody? Why can't cops be the teachers?
Facts.
Yeah, Florida. Thanks. Florida 2.0, baby.
I'm going to start going around telling people cops are cancel culture.
They are.
Cops are there to cancel you.
Hey, TikTok agrees.
They do.
What can I say?
They do. What can I say? But moving on to our next story.
Yeah.
I think it's uncontroversial to say that rich people are out of touch, right?
Yeah.
Rich people.
By necessity,
especially like uber fucking rich. Like, I'm not talking about like a doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, lives a nice house, lives a nice comfortable life. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about like uber rich, like 100 millionaires.
Hedge fund managers.
Billionaires.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
Uh-huh.
Very out of touch. The type of people who like to hire maids because they don't know how to clean or they're too busy to clean their own house.
People like Elon Musk.
People like Elon Musk.
People
like Jeff Bezos.
A certain bald guy.
That's right. Bald guy who's taking steroids now.
Lex Luthor, but he's taking steroids now? Is that what this is about?
No. Oh, there's the thing. Because remember when he was on the boat with like his new girlfriend or something? And he was kind of jacked.
Yeah.
A bunch of people were saying he's on roids.
Okay.
I support steroids, low-key. I feel like you should be able to do it if you want to, if you do it safely. But fuck Jeff.
Yeah. Fuck Jeff. I mean, but like for sports too, like competitions?
No. Like bodybuilders.
Okay.
Because they're all on gear anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a different conversation though.
I mean, but like, okay, real quick on that.
Yeah.
It's the current conversation. I think it would be like, obviously, I don't want anyone to get hurt.
Uh-huh.
But it could be interesting to see how far the human body could go.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Have a separate league.
Like, how high can a human jump? You know what I mean? Like, how fast could a human run if they made him run that?
White boy can't jump? Maybe he can.
As long as it's all like consensual and no one's being like coerced into doing it.
No, real.
That could be pretty
real.
Funny.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say. Yeah. But anyway, back to Jeffy Boy. Back to Jeffy Boy. There was a new lawsuit filed against him in, I believe, Washington State, right? And a former maid that used to work for him, which, side note on maids that work for rich people, a part of the job description for her stated that she needs to work around the family without being seen, which I think is so fucked.
Yeah.
I think that's fucked that's just a standard for maids. Yeah. Is, yeah, you need to clean up after my... you need to clean up all of my human filth for me and my entire family while not showing yourself to my family because I don't want any of the dirty pores.
I guess the house is big enough to hide. You know what I mean? The house is big enough to not be seen.
That's just insane.
It is
insane. I think that's an insane notion that should be done away with. Uh-huh. But anyway, that's not as insane as what we're going to talk about because basically what this lawsuit against Jeff alleges is that he runs his house like he runs his Amazon warehouses. If you don't know where I'm going with that, these maids are saying they didn't get bathroom breaks.
Oh my God.
Crazy, right?
There's probably like 40 bathrooms in there too.
Exactly. An excerpt from the NBC article. A former housekeeper is alleging that she and other housekeepers were subjected to unsafe and unsanitary conditions, barring them from rest breaks and easy access to the bathrooms. Another longer excerpt. In addition to extended work shifts, as long as 14 hours with no breaks, there was, quote, no reasonably accessible bathroom for the housekeepers, end quote, the lawsuit says. At one point, the housekeepers were told to use a restroom attached to a security room where guards monitored security cameras on the property. The suit claims, however, that was soon stopped because it was decided the housekeepers using that bathroom was a breach of security protocol.
What?
For about 18 months, in order to use a bathroom, plaintiff and other housekeepers were forced to climb out the laundry room window to the outside, then run along the path to the mechanical room, through the mechanical room, and downstairs to a bathroom. The lawsuit later claimed the housekeepers frequently developed UTIs because they did not have easy access to restrooms.
Oh my God.
That's insane.
Like, that is literally analogous to people in Amazon factories developing severe back problems, like chronic back pain for the rest of their lives because they can't, like, take a break for 20 minutes or something.
And
like that.
Also them not being able to use the bathroom because of time off task, like, mandates.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
And it's like, unironically, we have, I know in Amazon warehouses, this is the case. I don't know if it's the case for other Jeff Bezos ran enterprises or his own home, for example. But I know that in Amazon warehouses, you have like your scanner, right? Like that's the thing you use when you're like packaging stuff, scanning it, shipping it off, whatever.
Yeah.
They like watch how often you use it and they watch how often it's inactive so that they can like basically assign points or punish you if you're not working hard enough. It's literally like,
so
if you know the concept of like a panopticon, you know, like the prison system. Yeah. Where you're always being watched, but you never know if you're being watched. So you like self-police and self-survey.
There's a guard in the middle and then all the cells surrounding them. Yeah.
It's basically that, but digitally. And that is, that's horrifying. And you may say, okay, like the initial critique from conservatives is immediately going to be, don't take the job, right? So like, well, if you don't want that, don't take the job.
Literally the critique I saw. When I saw the article on Twitter, someone was like, well, they chose to take this job.
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, choose is a weird word to use when you either work or die in the economy.
Yeah.
Like that you don't really have a choice to work or not. you have to do it regardless. But like, even if we put that aside,
it's like the only people that say this are people who also hate their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, but like, quit.
But like, even if we put that aside though, is like, do you think someone should be able to sell themselves into slavery?
Yeah.
Obviously not, right? Because we don't think any human should be subjected to those kind of conditions, even if it appears to be a consensual, contractual relationship that they went into willingly, right? We don't think anyone should be able to do that. We've outlawed it, in fact.
Yeah.
But why is it that we don't view jobs like working for Jeff Bezos in an Amazon warehouse factory the same? Like, why don't we think like, okay, no human should be subjected to that kind of torment, even if they willingly agreed to work there? Yeah. Why don't we treat it that way? I don't think anyone should be subjected to that, even if they willingly do it.
Because at a certain point, like, you don't really know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
Or you know what you're signing up for, yet you have to do it anyway to stay alive.
Yeah. And that also, I mean, it ignores all the other nuance that, like, what if you can't find any other jobs? What if that's what you're qualified to do? What if, you know, you lost your other job and this is the only job you can get right now? Like, there's all kinds of factors that play into it. But on a more moral level, on a more fundamental level, I don't think anyone should have to deal with any of that. You should be able to pee whenever you want.
Real.
Especially if you're working, especially in the place that you're fucking cleaning.
Especially if you are tasked with cleaning up the filth of right. Jeff Bezos and his family and whatever friends and whatever weird fucking orgies happen at his house every day in and day out. I think you should be able to use the bathroom that everybody else uses.
I mean, think about it. You can't use the toilets that you're cleaning.
That doesn't make sense.
You clean the toilet and you yourself can't use it? That's weird. That's weird. You're a human being that has needs. Like, let him go pee.
Exactly. And obviously, Bezos and his team are saying, actually, yeah, when one of their defenses was, yeah, when the family isn't there, they can use whatever bathroom they want. Mm-hmm. Just when the family isn't there? I feel like you're telling on yourself a little bit it's with weird. That statement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't want to hear you going pee.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to hear, like, it's so dumb.
It's fucking stupid. Anyway, and they're saying, yeah, she's just doing it for money.
Right.
Which, of course, that's always the argument. Whenever a person who works for someone is suing them for misconduct, you especially see it with, like, sexual assault allegations oh, they're just doing it to settle for money, which is wild.
But it's like, so what? Like, if their case is true and what they're saying is real and they are just doing it for money, then so what? They've still been wronged.
If they really developed chronic UTIs, many, many times over because they were working 14-hour days where they had to crawl out the window of a laundry room and run across the yard to another room, which they had to go to another room from to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
I think they deserve all the millions of dollars that they're trying to settle for.
Yeah, and it's like, again, conservatives will just say, well, just find another job then. And it's like, yeah, but no, you shouldn't be able to make people do that. Yeah,
no one should be able to work that job.
And beyond that, no human being should be able to force you to have to act in that way. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos shouldn't have that power over anybody, even if, again, those people are entering into consensual contracts with him for employment. He should not be able to treat people like that.
Crazy.
Like, the same people that defend Jeff Bezos or any other boss in these kinds of cases would also defend fucking monarchs that treated their people the same way. You can't pee in my presence? Are you serious? You aren't a fucking feudal lord. You're an employer.
And it's not even that you can't pee in my presence. You can't be in my presence. I don't want to perceive you.
Yeah.
I don't want to perceive you at all. That's insane.
It's crazy. Like, I know it's hard to see through the kind of, I don't know, the film that capitalism puts over your eyes when you're analyzing any kind of situation, especially with employment, because, again, it is seen as this voluntary thing that everyone signs up for and is agreeing to. But, again, you die if you don't work, and people just shouldn't even be an option to treat people like that. It's gross. It's disgusting.
Real. And it's also fun to not slander, because I don't know if it's true or not. And it's pending litigation, make fun of Jeff Bezos because he's bad.
He is pretty bad.
Awful person.
I kind of hate him.
Real.
I mean, beyond the fact that, like, he, you know, you have to exploit people in order to get $1 billion, et cetera. Like, beyond that, beyond him being the richest person or one of the richest people in the world, not anymore the richest, but
true.
Beyond that, he just seems like a bad fucking person.
And he's also got a goofy laugh.
He does have a goofy laugh.
He laughs like an evil, like, he laughs like a One Piece character.
Yeah. I wonder how Jeff Bezos feels about Elon Musk. You know, like, I wonder if there's some intra-class conflict that's happening.
There's some billionaire beef happening, like with Blue Origin and SpaceX.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't think, it's like, whatever conflict's happening between them is so, like, infinitesimal compared to, like, the struggle that their workers face, obviously.
Oh, real. And it's crazy because it affects all of them. Thousands of people at a time whenever these billionaires get in beef.
And it's like billionaires, or I guess just like employers, capitalists in general, are immediately class conscious. Like, they understand everything about the position that they're in.
Yeah.
At least the vast majority of them do. And a lot of workers do not understand their own class consciousness. But it is really funny to see people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump fighting when they have the exact same material interests, the exact same economic interests as a class of people being billionaires or, you know, the capitalist class, and they just cannot get over their own egos to work together.
Yeah.
Because if they did all work together, then
we'd be fucked.
We'd be so fucked.
We'd be fucked.
It would be literally over. Like, the amount of power that they have and how just how the gulf between working class and capitalist class has widened over time, especially throughout the last several decades, it'd be over for us. But they just like, I don't know, just like the working class, they can't come together in the way that they need to. They do it a lot more than we do. Partially because they have fewer numbers. You know, they don't have billions of people.
It's a lot easier to get two people on your side than 100,000.
Yeah, they do it a lot more and a lot more efficiently than we do. But at least they can't get over themselves sometimes, I guess. That's the one thing that we can find solace in, is that Elon Musk will never partner with anybody else because he's a piece of shit and so is Donald Trump.
Big egos.
Facts. SMH. Big egos. Not like us, though.
Not like us.
Tiny egos.
Real.
Despite the TikTok comment saying that we have a superiority complex.
Oh, facts. If you ever want to see us get absolutely fucking degraded, I would suggest you go to all the comments on our Instagram reels. Because, like, TikTok, we don't get, like, crazy amounts. We get, like, the regular amount of hate. Yeah. I expected a little more when we first started, and I was kind of surprised on it. However, Instagram reels, we're just on conservative Instagram. Like, yeah, we've got to be. Because the amount of hate we receive there, the amount of vitriol and fucking idiots that come through. If there was no content moderation, but just for me, I'd be saying some vile shit to these people. Uh-huh. But I can't. I have to bite my tongue.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like the TikTok algorithm is better at showing you content that it knows that you like
yeah.
and enjoy.
Or that you engage with.
Yeah, whereas the Instagram algorithm, like, I don't really know what it's doing other than just showing people that would fucking hate us. Yeah. Like, what are they liking that is getting TikTok or is getting Instagram to show them our posts?
No, real. Like, I don't see, like, PragerU reels.
Yeah.
And I only see them when I, like, go and look for them.
Right.
Like, when I try to tailor my Explore page to find content for the pod.
Yeah.
But, like, how are you a regular conservative just coming across, like, leftist Instagram uh-huh. reels?
And it's also, like, side note, it's, like, it's not a superiority complex if I am just better than you.
It's not a complex if I'm just smarter than
if
you.
If I'm justified in believing it and I am literally smarter than you, then it's not a superiority complex. And you should feel, like, if you're a leftist listening to this, right, or anyone on the left, and you're engaging with conservatives in your day-to-day life, it isn't a superiority complex to think, like, yeah, like, my beliefs are better than them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not more worthy of, like, care and love as a human being, but, like, you have a better take, and exactly. That's just the result.
And as long as you can recognize that and, like, push that aside when you're talking to them, because it's easier to convince uh-huh. them if uh-huh. they don't think that you think that you're smarter than them, although you do.
Yeah. Although you are.
Although you are and you do think that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Just push it to the side in the conversations, but no yeah. in the back of your head.
I mean, like, everyone deserves a baseline level of respect, regardless of who they are, regardless yeah. of what they believe, unless they're, like, Nazis or something, then you can, I don't know,
yeah,
not
then
respect
you,
them.
Redacted.
But, like, everyone, even, like, regular conservatives, deserve some respect. But, yeah, I mean, you can feel justified in your beliefs, because if you're on the left, your beliefs are correct. What can I
exactly.
say?
Exactly. Don't enter the conversation being like, I'm better than you. But when you leave the conversation, maybe in your head, you could be like, yeah, I think this is codified, yeah. further codified
or if
my
you can,
superiority.
If you can tell that they're acting in bad faith, you can just be like, you're dumb. Like, you're acting like you don't
Real.
Know what you're talking about. And we've resulted to that on our TikTok debates before. And,
oh, absolutely.
We get banned for it.
People have came in bad faith, and I've absolutely clapped back at them.
But that's more of the blood sport for, like, views. If you're just talking to a regular person, maybe you could be a little bit nicer.
Yeah, exactly. On TikTok, there's no face. I'm not interacting with a human on the under end of that screen. I'm interacting with a voice that's dumb.
I'm sorry. If I'm debating someone online, I got to close my heart to it.
Exactly. I'll do anything to win.
And look, that's not my fault. Don't hate
it's
the player.
It's because I'm down for the cause.
Don't hate the
player. I ride.
I'm a good leftist. Don't hate the player. Like, this is just what the system encourages, is the blood sport. I'm just an actor in the system.
I'm willing to play the game.
Exactly.
I'm not a moral purist.
Exactly. Look, I'm not above it. I'm not above it. But when you're interacting with regular people, yeah, of course.
You should
be
a little
nice.
Above it. People in your day-to-day life.
Exactly.
Like
especially if you have to have, like, ongoing relationships with them.
Like family.
I wouldn't ruin it.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah,
I mean?
For sure.
Speaking of ongoing relationships with family,
Speaking
though.
Speaking of family.
In about 2 weeks' time from the time this episode drops, we'll have our, I think, what would
holiday,
it be? Holiday
pregame
part three.
That's right.
Exactly.
Holiday pregame redux.
That should be dropping the day before the Thanksgiving holiday, in fact. So for all of you that celebrate Thanksgiving and will be with your family on, you know, Thursday or Friday or whatever at the end of November, you'll have a holiday pregame to listen to before that. and we will cover every single hot button issue.
You could give
perfect retorts.
You could even wait till Thursday to get in there Thursday morning, watch it right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, so
dinner.
It's fresh.
Right before your uncle comes over. Yeah. You can get in. You can be like, whoa. Really?
And if there's any point where your uncle or, you know, someone crazy, someone super conservative in your family is like, hey, yo, like, well, where'd you get any of this data?
Bring out your speaker.
Not that they care about empiricism or evidence.
Yeah.
But if they ever say, where'd you get this from? Just say like, oh, Head in the Office. Go check them out. Okay,
bring out your speaker. Start playing us for the whole family.
I heard it on Head in the Office at 43 minutes and 28 seconds. But you'll have to listen to the entire thing in order to get the full context.
Real. And also
you'll have
help
to like, subscribe, and become a patron to get
it. And follow the Twitter and Instagram.
Exactly. You'll have to boost them on literally every platform in order to understand. That's when you'll get them. And that's on being a good leftist.
And then once they go through the, like, I don't know, like 100 hours of back content that we have, they'll finally understand. They'll finally unlearn everything and be a good leftist.
That's right.
And then they can feel morally superior to the rest of your family.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of audience we're cultivating here. Like, I don't know. I feel like where we're going to be in like a year or two when, you know, our audience has grown substantially, when we finally hit, you know, millions of listeners.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of blood sport we're going to be when my possible gap year between college and like grad school can turn into a forever gap year because the pod has blown up.
An indefinite gap year. Until you finally get canceled and it hits you economically and you're like, well, going back to med school, I guess.
I guess I'm going to try for that pharmacology degree.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. I'm not worried about it.
True.
All I'm worried about is elections, which you better tune in on Tuesday.
Elections and paper. Mm-hmm. And you know what paper comes with?
Uh-huh.
Patrons.
Uh-huh.
Just like these, like, 40 beautiful people.
Exactly. So we got to give a special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Kaden Kraut, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spy, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, The B-Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, The Mind Sculptors, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Jesper Angaras, Bread, Joe Stenstrom, and my mom. Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon. And real
Classic.
Quick, just because he hit me up on Discord this morning.
Oh?
Kaden Kraut, happy birthday. I hope it's a
good
one.
Let's go.
Happy birthday on the day that the pod drops for patrons. I hope you have a good one.
I hope you have a great one.
And I hope you all have a good week, and we'll see y'all next week.
Play some pecs for me, Kaden.
Yeah. You know. We'll see y'all next week.
Exactly.